I'm not doing too well with this mic, am I?
No, we're fine. We're just, it was operator problem before, as in me.
Okay. We have almost come to the end of our series on the confession of faith in a Mennonite perspective. I say almost. Next week will be the end, in fact, truly the end, as we look at the end of the Bible and see its sense of human history. But today I want to look at something I hope that has been present throughout all of the weeks that we have done this. Our spiritual lives. How do we, what we did with the children, how do we be with God? Certainly when we have looked at the wonders of creation, or when we have talked about Jesus coming among us, or when we have talked about Jesus teaching us, when we have talked about the church as it is a mission, and so on, we are looking and feeling about how we are spiritual. So the whole series has been about that. But we do have an article that talks exactly about how we interact spiritually with God. Today our main article is about life in the Spirit. How do we grow in our faith? And how do we come close to God? Maybe there is no single way, one way that brings each of us closer to God. I wanted to use a slightly dated book called Streams of Living Water, written by Richard Foster. And I don't even know if it's in our library, but I think it's an excellent volume. He actually has a website, and he's done a lot of thinking about the totality of the Christian church and how do we interact with God. And that's why it's called Streams, Streams of Living Water. In Streams of Living Water, he shares six broad spiritual streams within the Christian church. To be sure, there is overlap. And Foster is thoroughly convinced that all six have their roots in Jesus and in the early church. And we're not nearly going to do justice to this incredibly good book this morning. In some ways, it would lend itself more to a six-Sunday sermon series. And that's something we might want to think about sometime. In the book, which we will not do as very thoroughly this morning, he gives biblical roots for each. He gives historical Christian figures, and at the end there's a whole set of biographies under each of the six. People from the first century, from the Bible, through to the 20th century, who represent these different streams. In this short sermon series, I will not be able to touch on all of these, but I'm willing to be challenged or to be present in more than one of these settings. So what I'm saying is that none of us can practice all six of these streams well. And many of us maybe are only in one of these streams, but I would welcome us to think about another one or two streams that might be helpful in our Christian life. The first one that he talks about is what we call the contemplative tradition. He defines it as, quote, as beautiful of soul. The masters of this tradition talk about the fire of love. And there were actually a few Anabaptists that talked a lot about the fire that cleanses us within. To, quote, put simply, the contemplative life is the steady gaze of the soul on the God who loves us. Looking at God, doing the breath prayer all the time, being in contact with God. This love comes little by little as we grow deeper in our prayers and praise of God. And in this tradition, the peace of God slowly grows within us. And the result is delight of God. It has two sides to it. On the one hand, it's delight of God. The more one does go into this contemplative tradition, the more one has delight in God, because one learns to love God. But there's also an empty side to it. We empty ourselves so that God can fill us. And there have been many Christian people throughout the ages for whom this has been the primary understanding of how they become fruit on the vine. And emptying ourselves for and for God, and the fire of God which purifies us. Ultimately, God transforms us, taking us over. Foster stresses that this understanding is first about falling in love with God, not gritting our teeth, but really wanting to love God. It calls for both unceasing prayer and of quietness before God. And as he does throughout the book, he gives both the positives and some of the dangers in this approach. Its major danger, he suggests, is that some in this tradition, not the best practitioners of it, but some who get into it, neglect the world. In other words, they become so wanting to be in tune with God that they neglect what Jesus has called us to be salt and light of the earth. Its second major danger, he suggests, is ignoring the community, the church. God and I can love God. God can love me so thoroughly, I don't need the church. To learn to practice this spirituality, Foster has three suggestions. First of all, he encourages us to experiment with solitude. And this is where some of your summer habits can actually be useful. So if you do go to the lake or whatever, spend that hour all by yourself, just by yourself, in the midst of God's beauty. Find time to observe God's word. And he suggests in this approach to read scripture sometimes only as prayer, not as Bible study. Bible study is important and important in some of the other traditions, but in this tradition, we use the word of God to pray. And I think for me, that's a newer learning. I haven't used the Bible in that way as much. One way in the contemplative tradition that's easy for us is this. We all know the phrase from the Old Testament, "Be still and know that I am God," right? Now I'm just going to take a minute, and I can't take this kind of time with all six, but I'm going to use that and drop one word at a time as a contemplative way to use the Bible. So I just want, if you want to close your eyes, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. And I will lead us in this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and. Be still. Be. Amen. That would be a contemplative use of a scripture passage. It's one that we don't think about. It's through our soul, right? The second movement that Foster talks about is what he calls the holiness movement. He defines the holiness movement as an ever deeper formation of the inner personality to reflect the glory and goodness of God. Always wanting to be more like Christ. The goal of the Christian life is not simply to, I like this quote, the goal of the Christian life is not simply to get into heaven, but to get heaven into us. I like that. Good works, although as seen as important in this tradition, is always a result of the inner heart. It is a result of this inner heart and holiness. While emphasizing the forgiveness of sins, it is more about the breaking of sin's holds in our lives. Among the dangers Foster highlights is a legalism. Holiness is first about the heart, second about doing the right things. To grow in this tradition, Foster emphasized training through service, prayer, fasting, and meditation. And certainly a hymn of this tradition is, "Take time to be holy. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing, his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes in. Spend time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be, thy friend in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and look to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus, led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Certainly a hymn of the holiness tradition. The third tradition he calls, and this is where his terms are probably a little bit dated because it was written 20 years ago, he calls the charismatic tradition. Writing now, he might have adopted a different label. First, Foster sees it as forever reminding us that we cannot domesticate God. The Spirit blows where it chooses. We can't tie God down, and we've talked about that in when we talked about God, actually. It will continue to surprise and lead us in new ways. The Spirit bestows gifts of wisdom and prophecy on the community of believers. As a danger, Foster warns of the trivialization of God. We sometimes, people in this tradition, sometimes become focused on the miracle that God does and not on the miracle maker, right? Sometimes we hear in people in this tradition where the emphasis is on the great thing that has happened, but we sometimes forget, or they sometimes forget, about who did it and that that's where we are to dwell. And that's, in fact, why Jesus sometimes didn't do miracles, remember? Because the people were losing touch with why he was doing the miracles. The rational is also often dismissed in this approach. But we have much to learn from this tradition, and Mennonite churches around the world have begun to appropriate more and more from these traditions. Yes, we think of the Pentecostal churches earlier, but we also think of the charismatic movement that blew through some of our churches in the 70s and 80s, and there are some permanent good things that are happening in our churches. For example, a greater emphasis on healing, offering healing services, and so on in many of our churches in a very wholesome and biblical way. And these are learnings from this tradition. And one of the songs, actually many of the songs of the praise and worship tradition come to us from this understanding of the faith. And one of the songs, Wind of the Spirit, this morning, actually represents this tradition quite well. Fourth, Foster describes the fourth tradition as the social justice tradition, where the emphasis is on Jesus' words of love for God and love for neighbor, and then ultimately love for the enemy, where justice and compassion and peace, words like shalom, become the center of our being the fruit of the vine, in touch with God, in touch with Jesus. And he suggests that we need to, from this tradition, people do this in three ways. First of all, within themselves, in their personal lives. And here is where we deal with the sins of our life, like sloth and lust within ourselves, pride, and so on. Before we can move to the next stage, and that is where we are concerned with interpersonal peace and justice, where we see injustice around us. And then the third, being institutional. How do we, and we had our speaker a few weeks ago talk to us about how MCC is involved in peacemaking in different parts of the world. And that represents this spiritual tradition very much in touch with Jesus. He critiques the approach in part because many in this approach find it to be an end in itself, and it becomes too narrow. If it's not rooted in Jesus, if it's not rooted in Christ, eventually it grows cold. And people who work in this area a lot sometimes lose touch with the fruit of the vine, the scripture passage today. And sometimes when they become discouraged, they leave the work because they see no hope in it. But our hope is ultimately in God, not in the movement itself. And certainly one of the songs that represents this tradition in our hymnal, I just want to read a couple of the verses. is "You are the salt of the earth," 226, if you want to follow along. "You are salt for the earth, O people, salt for the kingdom of God. Share the flavor of life, O people, life in the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy. Bring forth the kingdom of peace. Bring forth the kingdom of justice. Bring forth the city of God." And then verse 3, "You are a seed of the word, O people. Bring forth the kingdom of God. Seams of mercy and seams of justice. Grow in the kingdom of God." And then verse 4, "We are the blessed and a pilgrim people, bound for the kingdom of God. Love our journey and love our homeland. Love is the kingdom of God." And the chorus one more time. "Bring forth the kingdom of mercy. Bring forth the kingdom of peace. Bring forth the kingdom of justice. Bring forth the city of God." And so that is the fourth tradition he talks about. The fifth is one that perhaps many are quite familiar with in this church and many of our churches, although the fourth is as well, and that's what he calls the evangelical word-centered life. And this is where the emphasis is on faithful proclamation, on redemption and reconciliation, and that Scripture is the faithful repository of our faith. Its strengths include its call to conversion, which sometimes some parts of the other Christian churches and streams underemphasize. We are called to follow Jesus, and we recognize that on our baptism Sunday, as three persons named that in their lives, and a reminder to us that we are called to conversion. We are called to name the faith. And we are called to a missionary effort in this stream. And although there's some criticism and some good criticism of the way the missionary effort has often been done, I can say this much. The world, including the Mennonite world, is so exciting because there are Christians in so many countries. And I get goosebumps when I interact with leaders from Africa, from Asia, from South America, and I am learning from them. And without the missionary movement, those churches wouldn't exist. And it came largely out of this stream of the understanding of faithfulness to Christ. One could pick many hymns for this tradition, but one that's in the Brown Hymnal is 554. And the gospel songs would all come from this tradition. I won't read it all, but I'll read two of the verses. 554, verses 1 and 3. "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free." Third verse. "I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell." That's the missionary call, right? "How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell." And the chorus, "Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free." And the sixth tradition that he talks about concerns itself between spirit and matter. It's called the incarnational tradition, and is one that is practiced not only by the Orthodox and partly by the Catholics, although even Catholics can represent all six of these, and the Orthodox more of them too. But we usually think of those traditions, but they're not the only ones. There was actually one Anabaptist who I would regard as having been part of the contemplative tradition, and that would be Hans Denk. The incarnational tradition concerns itself between spirit and matter. In short, God is... In short, God is manifest to you through spiritual means. God is present in everything we do. The emphasis in part is on God, that our body are God's temple, and nature is God's. This has implications for our whole lives. The danger, he suggests, and some people who were Christian I would regard as perhaps, thank you, I would regard as having perhaps moved a little bit, and the danger here is that God becomes everything. And there are some Christian thinkers who've gone that far, or they see at least, say at least God is in everything and there is a difference. The mic keeps coming in and out. Battery, okay. Well, I'm close to finish, so don't worry about it. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to worry about it then. The danger in this movement is that sometimes, and we have persons around us, more of them who are perhaps no longer call themselves Christians, that God is everything. So God is the blade of grass, which comes from this. But we say that all of this worships God, right? And so I want to look at two hymns, actually, from this tradition. One you know well. I think I lost the page for that. The other one I'll have. Sorry. 48. We have sung this maybe 2-3 times in the last 6 months. All creatures of our God and King. It comes, the words are from St. Francis of Assisi. And he very much believed that, for example, maybe we can't kill the mosquito because God has created the mosquito. And who are we? If this is God's creation and God's gift to us, we might not. You want that? Okay. Thank you. Is that better? Okay. So I just wanted to read one or two verses, actually. Verse 2. Thou rushing wind, thou art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, O sing ye alleluia. Verse 4. Dear Mother Earth, who day by day unfoldest blessings on our way, the flowers and fruits that in thee grow, let them God's glory also show. And there is in this sense that we hear and feel God through all of nature. Okay, and it is a biblical sense. A song we know less, however, is 482. This also comes from a Julian of Norwich wrote in the 11th century. She was a Christian woman. And Jean Jansen, who is a professor of English at Tabor College in the the MB College in California, has about 10 translations in our book. And she has translated a number of pieces like this one. And you can see right away by the title why many churches have resisted singing it, right? Mothering God, we've talked about whether God is mother, father, and so on. But I want you to get beyond the mothering God to hear the text. Mothering God, you gave me birth in the bright morning of this world. Creator source of every breath, you are my rain, my wind, my sun. Verse 2, Mothering Christ, you took my form, offering me your food of light, grain of life and grape of love, your very body for my peace. Mothering Spirit, nurturing one, in arms of patience hold me close, so that in faith and root I grow, until I flower, until I know. It's this deep understanding of this relationship with God in this kind of a tradition. And so these are some representatives of it. So these are the six spiritual traditions that this writer talks about, and probably all of us are in more than one of them. None of us can be in all six. It doesn't make sense. But maybe we can grow from in our spiritual. How do we nurture? How do we become the vine of the branch? How do we become closer? How do we pray? How do we communicate with God? And all of these approaches can be a help. Or one or two, perhaps beyond where you are yourself. So how do we, wanted to mention, and as we said at the beginning, some articles we would emphasize less than others, but I believe stewardship grows directly out of our spiritual lives. Stewardship is the sense of the fact that God has created everything. and that everything we have and own is a gift from God. I sometimes use the lawnmower analogy. I have a lawnmower in my garage. Is it mine? As a Christian, I say no. It's a gift from God. And I become a steward of the lawnmower. And as a steward, if a neighbor comes and asks me to borrow the lawnmower, as a steward, I have to make a decision. It can't be a selfish one, but it can be, can this person use it responsibly so other persons can also use it? But can I, since I'm not its owner, God is, but I'm the steward of it, is it right for me to say, yes, you can use my lawnmower? And I'm not saying there's an instant right answer, but in stewardship, we presume it's God's, and then make a decision on God's behalf. That's my understanding of stewardship. And so when we give of our offerings in the church, which is a small part of stewardship, when we say we are giving God back what God has given us, we are being responsible for part of what we've been given. And so that's the whole understanding of stewardship. So how do each one of us here grow closer to God? As I said, probably none of us can drink from all six of these traditions. But we can grow from some of them, probably primarily one or two or three. And we can grow in the sense from all six. The contemplative tradition, which is prayer-filled and God-filling us. The holiness tradition, which is growing more Christ-like in our daily lives. The charismatic tradition, which allows God to bless and to do new things unheard of. The social justice tradition, which in our own lives and as citizens, wanting to have what Jesus wants in the world for the hurting and the lonely. The evangelical tradition, which helps us live heavenward. And the incarnational tradition, where we can see God in everything and everyone. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We have many branches in the church, even in the Mennonite church, even in this church. May we all grow in our understanding of our closeness to God. Amen.